Oh, how catchy was that? Wow. Even though everything in there has now become absolute outdated misinformation. What is happening, everybody? Welcome on into the Check Your Brain podcast, the free edition on the major podcast platforms. Thank you for listening. Hopefully you can subscribe. Hit the subscribe button. Give me a 5-star rating if you so choose. If not, then that's fine. I'm just glad you stumbled upon this. And if you want more content from me, first of all, I have another free podcast coming out tomorrow covering the same topic, but different things with this topic that will be on Rumble. So go to my Rumble page. Just search my name. I don't know. I don't know if I'm at Tony Mazur. I don't know what it is, but go check it out on Rumble. And if you want more episodes like this with a little saucier language, salty, go to patreon.com/Tony Mazur. I have 3 tiers for you, a $3, a $5, and a $10 tier if you're interested in subscribing. For $3, you get the audio podcast. $5 gets you video. $10 gets you extra podcasts. And you also get early access to guests. I interact with you guys. And it's a multimedia spectacular over on my Patreon. For now, until after they hear this episode, I'll probably get taken down and just have to be a Rumble guy only. Or go to Locals or whatever. Hi, everybody. Yes, again, my name is Tony Mazur. And every year, my annual COVID-19 Such and Such Days to Flatten the Curve podcast. This is my 4th year doing this because we are at the 4th anniversary of the lockdowns and the mandates of the COVID-19 pandemic / hysteria. So what I do with these podcasts, I did it the first year, which was started off as, remember, 15 days to flatten the curve. I labeled it as 365 days to flatten the curve. Then in year 2, in 2022, I did, I think it was 730 days to flatten the curve. Last year, 2023, it was 1,100 days to flatten the curve. And as of March 11th, even though this podcast is going out a couple of days after, it is 1,461 days. So not necessarily a whole number, but still 1,461 days to flatten the curve. The insanity, the world as we knew it changed on that day, on March 11th of 2020. So basically what I do with these podcasts, if this is the first one you've listened to, these are good archives. I like going back in time and hearing how far we've come and how we shouldn't repeat the same mistakes. You just cannot do this in history. So what I do every year is I go back in time. We go back in the DeLorean. We don't go to 1985 or 1955 or 1885. We go to 2020, and I play some clips and I give you a little bit of background. And then I fast forward to where are we now? And I understand some of the concerns about a podcast about COVID, that because I've heard this criticism of Clay and Buck, Clay Travis Buck Sexton, who took over for Rush Limbaugh on Premier Radio Networks, is whenever they do mention COVID, you get people on Twitter or the callers go, guys, come on, you're still talking COVID? That was years ago. We're done. Explain to me what is still locked down. Explain to me what mandate is out there that you're just an old man yelling at a cloud right now. We're done. Guys, we're not done. I take a sip of my beverage here. We're not done with this. This is an election year. In fact, this is the most important time to do a podcast like this because of what we did not learn in this time by going, stop talking about this. This is not the cause du jour right now. This isn't what we're talking about. Why are you still talking about it? There are no vaccine mandates. No one, virtually no one outside of some lunatic is wearing a mask right now. And they're usually wearing them in their car. Only super hypochondriacs are still wearing masks right now. They're not, like, Tony, you're just yelling. What's the point of this? And I'll tell you the point, because it doesn't seem like we've learned these lessons, and I have to remind people. The one good thing about social media and podcasting is we can document these things in real time. It's not like we're going back to the biblical days where we're chronicling things based on articles, based on prophets, based on word of mouth over time. These were things we lived through. And I look back to what happened on September 11th of 2001. I was 13 years old. I remember 9/11, but my prefrontal cortex was about 12, 13 years away from developing, so I didn't necessarily understand the background of why we got attacked on 9/11. And the way I think about this, when I went out to California for my part-time job at the time, I took time off of my full-time job in radio to work part-time. That's how little money I was making, that my days off I was working. And I went out to California. I was down in Oceanside in Carlsbad, California, working school events. But I was going up to Los Angeles on March 11th to go to a hockey game, an LA Kings game at the place once known as Staples Center. I was going to see Soul Asylum and Local H at a concert hall called the Terragram Ballroom. And I was going to WeHo, West Hollywood, and the Comedy Store right on Sunset Boulevard. That was my plan. It's what I wanted to do. And didn't really work. Well, it did work out, but it got derailed pretty quick because of what we knew at the time and what we had found out. And so just going back in time, it really felt like when I went out to California on March 8th to when I returned from California on March 13th, it was the same way I felt on September 10th of 2001. Where my mom, my brother, and me went out to a ground round. It really dates me back then. We went to a ground round for dinner, and we were watching a baseball game. There was, the team once known as the Cleveland Indians were playing the Kansas City Royals and watching it at the ground round, not realizing that about 14 hours later, our world was going to change, and change for good. The world of being at that ground round was not going to be the same world the next day. And that's kind of how I felt about going to California. So let's set this up. Let's go back in time. And we're going to see some serious, you know what. I'm going to try not to curse in this podcast. So what ended up happening? We heard about the coronavirus as early as January, even though it sounds to me that a lot of people were getting really sick from some kind of flu as early as 2019. In fact, I believe I got the OG COVID in 2019 because I was in Chinatown, the epicenter of it in the United States, in Queens. I was there for a work event. Again, took time off my day job so I can work part-time. Gotta love radio. I make more money now. I'm much happier. Trust me. So I got really sick around Christmas and New Year's. I was really in bad shape that time. And I didn't know what it was, but I figured out it's probably some flu. Got sick. Was probably around people. Someone coughed in my direction. I got sick. Whatever. It happens. So people were getting sick, but we started hearing about this virus out of China in January. Then we started hearing more in February. Could this be like a SARS thing? Or are we overreacting? And that's what it was when I went to California on March 8th, which was, don't touch your face and wash your hands. Simple enough. Those are pretty sound, pretty understandable measures as far as trying to watch out for your own public health. But yeah, that was okay. And then why a few days later it turned into, oh my God, the world is ending. Why? Because an actor who's been linked to people like Jeffrey Epstein in Tom Hanks, America's Dad, got COVID on the set of that Elvis movie that I don't know one person who's watched it. He was playing Colonel Parker, and he announced, yeah, guys, I got this illness. I got COVID. And everybody said, holy crap, shut the world down. Tom Hanks is sick. Rudy Gobert, he was touching microphones. So we need to shut all the leagues down. And then they shut the schools down. But why I talk about this a lot is because Ohio was the first state to really shut down. Ohio, a red state, a state that's gone for Trump the last couple of times and probably will in 2024 as well. Some union blue dog Democrat areas in Ohio, but it's gone from being a fairly purple state to a red state to a very crimson state. However, we have a governor who's part of the Uniparty. Even though he's a Republican and Mike DeWine, DeWine is kind of a Mitch McConnell, Lindsey Graham, Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, Uniparty type of politician. He's a rhino. He's not a true conservative Republican. And he was the first one to shut down the Arnold Invitational, the Arnold Expo. It's the Arnold Schwarzenegger It's like the strength and fitness expo that they have. People all over the country, all over the world will come there to deadlift and lift weights and give out pre-workouts and proteins and everything. You know, the healthiest event anybody can go to. If you're going to go there, you probably either want to get in shape or you are in very good shape. So Mike DeWine says, not a good idea to have this here in Columbus, Ohio. Let's shut it down. Then he got a little bit of taste of the nectar to get power mad, power drunk. And he decided to shut the world down, or he shut his state down by saying, yeah, we're going to start spring break early. And then other people looked at the politics of it and saying, this would be great to go up against Donald Trump. And let's be honest, that's what they've come out and essentially said, that COVID was one of the main things to take Donald Trump down and why he didn't win and isn't still president here after 2020. So there was all that going on. And every state followed suit. But it wasn't California, it wasn't New York, it wasn't Illinois, it wasn't Massachusetts, it was Ohio shut down. I think Maryland was second with another rhino governor, Larry Hogan. And then you just started seeing it topple. And by March 13th, when I arrived back home in Ohio, you started noticing that, I think things are going to start looking kind of crazy around here. And by the 15th, beware the Ides of March. And on the Ides of March at 9 p.m. in Ohio, Mike DeWine, our governor, through Amy Acton, the abortionist, said, who was our health director, state health director at the time, who's run as a Democrat, by the way, for office, they said that we're going to shut the state down. And we're going to shut down the restaurants and bars at 9 p.m. on the 15th. And then the next day, I'm at a Planet Fitness, and they started shutting the TVs off individually. You know how the TVs hover above the treadmills at gyms? That's what they were doing. So it was about 2:55. The governor says, we're shutting down the salons, we're shutting down the gyms, we're shutting down the tattoo parlors and the massage parlors, and everything like that. Basically, everything was closed at that time. And we didn't know when we're going to be able to do anything. Anything. And that was it. It was very bleak at that time. I was very black-pilled. I didn't know where we were going to go. But we heard about this 15 days to flatten the curve. So what's about 15 mid-March? So what? Easter time? We're going to reopen? Mm-mm. Oh, no. We kept it going because people started liking it. The laptop class said, this is great. I could just, it's like a vacation. I'm working from home. I used to wake up at 6:30, have to take a shower and make breakfast and make coffee and do my hair and all this and stuff. You know what? It's okay. I'm in my PJs. I have my bunny slippers on. I'm wearing a bathrobe. I woke up at 8:55 and I was early for my 9 o'clock conference call via Zoom. Oh, isn't this nice? And then they were doing what was called Wine with DeWine in Ohio. Now, again, you probably had your, if you're listening outside of Ohio, you probably had your own wackiness that was going on, but they did Wine with DeWine. And so these moms who were working from home would pour themselves a glass of wine and watch a 2 p.m. press conference with the governor and the health director about what we're allowed to do today. How draconian, how authoritarian does that sound? It's dystopian, if anything. To think that we have to sit there and get our marching orders from our governor if I'm allowed to get my mail today. We're rationing trips to the grocery store. We're beyond toilet paper, by the way. This is past the toilet paper thing. This is now, am I allowed to breathe air today without feeling like I'm killing grandma? And then I started seeing my friends, my good friends, falling for this, saying, hey, you want to do a Zoom happy hour? No, I would like to do a happy hour. Well, Tony, but don't you understand that there's this illness that's out there? I'm like, you've fallen for it too. These people got so afraid they thought they were going to get this Ebola. And we knew pretty quick that COVID-19, and when I say quick, we knew as early as April, by around Easter, that this was disproportionately affecting old people, obese people, those with pre-existing conditions, like several of them, 3 to 4 at least, or all of the above. So if you were over 70, you're not in good shape, you've had diseases, you have diabetes, you have everything, batten down the hatches. It might not work out in your favor. But instead, we quarantine the healthiest people, the people who would go to that Arnold Expo, the 22-year-olds. We said, you need to stay home because you might be asymptomatic. You might be sick right now. You may think you're not sick. You may feel pink as a pistol. Everything is going great for you, but you're sick and you don't realize it. You could be spreading it to people. You don't even know. You're killing grandma. So therefore, you healthy 22-year-old with your abs, you healthy 22-year-old who eats greens and, I don't know, drinks protein drinks and is very health conscious, you 22-year-old who looks like Matt Rife, you need to stay home. Because at what point in our society did we shut the world down for the old people? When did the older people, the older generation, the baby boomers, what should have been is that we should have allowed, been allowed to do things. You could say selfishly, but there was a lot more that went into it. At what point did we tell everybody that the older people now have to sacrifice for the younger people? No, the younger people had to sacrifice for the boomers. And that's what got me. So the high schoolers, especially the senior class of 2020, who are now 22 years old, they didn't get a homecoming, or they didn't get a prom. They didn't get a senior baseball season. They didn't get a senior softball season. They didn't get a senior track and field season. They didn't get the prom. They didn't get their commencement ceremony. They didn't get any of that. Why? Because baby boomers didn't want to get sniffles. So they said, no, you're being selfish if you want to keep us open. So commencement ceremonies were held at drive-in theaters and you had to honk. You were honking instead of clapping. You wore your mask. You had your mortarboard and your cap and your gown. You put the tassel to the other side and people would honk at you. That's just sad, man. But that was all that was going on, and it wasn't that long ago. You had people yelling at you for not social distancing. Here's a clip of skate parks being filled in with sand. So yeah, that was going on. They were going to the skate parks on Venice Beach and filling them with sand because they didn't want people breaking lockdown rules. They didn't want you going outside with your skateboard and going to the skate park because you might not be social distancing. You might not be mask wearing. So we need to shut down for you, for your sake. It's for you. That was going on. And you just started seeing this, the playgrounds were shut down. They were taped over. That, again, all the softball and baseball seasons were shut down, whether it was in school or it was some kind of club team or rec team. All of them were shut down. The public pools were shut down. I know I lived in an apartment complex at the time. They said, we can't open because we can't guarantee everyone's going to be social distancing. I'm like, hey, stupid. We're outside getting sun, getting fresh air, going into chlorine pools. I think this is probably pretty healthy. So we had to keep our chair. We fought tooth and nail for our softball season to continue and our pool to be open. So they said, all right, well, we're going to cut down on the number of chairs there. So we're going to spread things out 6 feet apart. Whatever. So I got to get sun. I got to look like George Hamilton that summer. I was outside that much. But anyways, that was all going on. And we were now told that as time is going on, that there were times of trying to reopen stuff towards the end of May. And I know in Ohio and a couple of other places, they were about to reopen. And you heard all these public health officials like, oh, this is too dangerous. It's too dangerous. You don't know who's going to get sick. And then George Floyd dies. George Floyd overdoses on fentanyl. And Derek Chauvin, Officer Chauvin's knee was precariously close to his neck. And the world went crazy once again. And public health officials had to come out and say, racism is a bigger public health crisis than COVID-19. So therefore, we encourage you to go out on the street, wear your mask, but go out in the streets with tens of thousands of your friends and protest police brutality and Black Lives Matter. That was all going on. And no one was like, wait a second here. Don't you think that, I mean, you just yelled at us for a couple of months that we shouldn't be doing all this, that we can't go outside, that any mail that we get, we have to put in the toaster to make sure it's going to be disinfected properly. That we any groceries that we got from Instacart or we had to go shopping ourselves, that we had to put in the bathtub and wash it and all this other stuff. And yet now you're telling us that we can go in the streets and protest for George Floyd? Okay, that didn't make sense. So more states were like, guys, wait a second. You're encouraging protests, but we can't have a barbecue, like an outdoor barbecue where people are kind of spaced out apart anyways. We can't have pools open. So some states were slowly reopening, like Florida. Ohio eventually did and others, but Florida was the big one. You had a Grim Reaper on the beach, the Daniel Ufelder, who was a lawyer. Some left-wing lunatic lawyer was like, you're killing people. I'm the Grim Reaper. You're the reason people are dying. And he's walking up and down the beaches of Florida. Again, sunshine, exercise, fresh air, salt water. It's the healthiest thing you could probably do is go to a beach in 2020 or at any point. But that was what was going on. So Florida, because Ron DeSantis, he's a COVID denier. He's a conspiracy theorist. Is it too early to reopen places? So here's Dr. Fauci. Again, we're going back in time a little bit. And I got a couple of clips, and then we're going to go to where we are today. Here's Dr. Fauci on, I think this is ABC News, saying that by the fall, even in Florida, it's still too dangerous to reopen.
I'm curious, with all that you just said and where we are now as a nation, what you make of Florida's decision to ease those restrictions, opening up bars and restaurants?
Well, that is very concerning to me. I mean, we have always said that, myself and Dr. Deborah Birx, who's the coordinator of the task force, that is something we really need to be careful about, because when you're dealing with community spread and you have the kind of congregate setting where people get together, particularly without masks, you're really asking for trouble. Now's the time, actually, to double down a bit. And I don't mean close. When I say that, people get concerned that we're talking about shutting down. We're not talking about shutting anything down. We're talking about common sense type of public health measures that we've been talking about all along.
Now, so we're not in great shape to be heading into these colder months. You said no one's talking about a shutdown, but what would it take for you to actually or eventually advocate for one again?
You know, I really would like to not go there, because it causes so many collateral issues and problems. And when people see that, you know, they're exhausted from that and they're pushing back. So, I mean, obviously, if things really explode, you'd have to consider that. But we want to do everything we possibly can to avoid an absolute shutdown. In other words, get the cases under control by the common sense types of things that we've been talking about all along.
Again, we knew as early as April who this was affecting, that nursing homes that were, again, shut down and people sent back to the nursing homes and then they started dying, that the majority of people who were dying were either very sick or over 70. Yeah, of course, ideally you would like to see no one die, but these are people that lived full lives, and we're telling 20-year-olds who've barely lived any life to shut their lives down. And that was what was going on. So you notice with Dr. Fauci there, who's been discredited in many ways, he still gets invited to campuses and gets paid like $2 million to speak or whatever it is. He really should be behind bars, in my opinion. But remember, you can't tell a woman what she can or cannot do with her body, except Dr. Fauci can. That's kind of funny. But anyways, you notice what he was very careful, and he's always been very careful. No one's ever said the man's stupid. I never said we should be shutting down society. I never said we would like to avoid, but if it gets bad, maybe we should consider it. So he chose his words then and now carefully, but he really was advocating for shutdowns, and a lot of it was for what we'll talk about here in a second as far as getting people vaccinated. Oh yeah, because that was the next thing. People were getting sick, and we started noticing this, that cases went down by the summertime in the northern states, but they went up in the southern states. Now, why is that? Maybe because in the southern states, it gets really hot. And when it gets really hot, you go into the air conditioning indoors. So that's where people were getting sick in Florida. They had to use that measure by saying, well, from June till September, the cases went up in Florida. Really, well, what happened from September until December? Oh, they went down. Almost seems like it's kind of seasonal. Almost seems like people were starting to get sick in the north when they went back inside because it was too darn cold outside. Interesting. Interesting how that works out. But then we get to January. Well, we started hearing it in December with Operation Warp Speed that Donald Trump rushed through and getting some kind of vaccine out there. He tried taking credit for it, but it was a lose-lose situation because people started booing him when he would bring it up at rallies. And the people who were getting vaccinated and instructing and threatening people with vaccination, they were the ones telling you, they were saying, no, it's Biden's vaccine. No, it was Joe Biden. Thank you, Joe Biden. It's Joe Biden's reason why COVID's not as much of a thing, because he encouraged people to get vaccinated. I'll get to that in a little bit. But here's the Uniparty urging everybody to start getting vaccinated.
Our fellow Americans.
Right now, the COVID-19 vaccines are available to millions of Americans.
And soon, they will be available to everyone.
The science is clear. These vaccines will protect you and those you love from this dangerous and deadly disease.
They could save your life.
So we urge you to get vaccinated when it's available to you.
That's the first step to ending the pandemic and moving our country forward. It's up to you.
How'd that work out? It's kind of like that Rachel Maddow clip. Yeah, oh yeah. That's what happens. The Uniparty got together. Bill Clinton, George W. Bush, and Barack Obama, and all getting, put your politics aside, and we have a real pandemic going on right now. Again, that's the Mike DeWine's people. Mike DeWine would have loved to have been in that video. Just an absolute orgy of misinformation there. That if you get vaccinated, you're not going to get sick. That's what Rachel Maddow said. But you know what? It's not so much the adults, because I even knew when I worked in radio, and once again, I'll say this for my former coworkers at the time, I lied to you. I never got vaccinated. I'm still not vaccinated. I never took one of these shots. In fact, I haven't gotten a flu shot in 12 years, and I won't get a flu shot. I'm not going to do this. I am vaccine skeptical because of you and because of a lot of you. I was agnostic to vaccines before this, but now I'm a little bit more skeptical, as are a lot of people. So to my former coworkers, when I told you that I had gotten vaccinated on May 1st of 2021, I lied. I was playing in an all-day softball tournament outside and had a great time. And then I proceeded to get drunk that day. And it was a lot of fun, but I got drunk, drank a lot of booze, but I didn't get vaccinated that day. But I told you I did. But it wasn't just that. The adults going out and older people going in February and March of getting vaccinated and everybody taking their vaccine selfies. Look, I got vaccinated. You can do it too. You're a modern day superhero. Well, then Sesame Street was telling kids to get vaccinated because Sesame Street's state propaganda too.
Now Daddy has super duper bandages just like Elmo.
You were super duper today, getting your COVID vaccine, Elmo.
Yeah, there was a little pinch, but it was okay. Elmo was really glad to have Daddy and Baby David there with him. Baby David, where are you?
I had a lot of questions about Elmo getting the COVID vaccine. Was it safe? Was it the right decision? I talked to our pediatrician so I could make the right choice. I learned that Elmo getting vaccinated is the best way to keep himself, our friends, neighbors, and everyone else healthy and enjoying the things they love.
Oh, Daddy! Oh, Elmo and Baby David have a question. Oh. Can we have a hug?
Oh, come here, son.
Elmo loves you, Daddy.
I love you, too.
It's okay to have questions about COVID vaccines for your kids. Get the latest facts by speaking to your pediatrician or healthcare provider.
Well, and as we knew, and as we've known the last couple of years, you really can't trust doctors all that much. Because it seemed like doctors were incentivized to tell people to go get vaccinated. Oh, that's come out. Yes. Oh, yeah. Telling children who are at zero risk, and I mean zero risk. I've heard this. Well, Tony, there were a couple of kids who died. Yeah. It's sad. That's not the norm. None of this was the norm. If there were kids who died, those kids unfortunately had leukemia, had diabetes. They had some kind of lupus or an autoimmune disease that really affected them. And they got COVID, and it just was just the cherry on top of a sad cocktail of stuff that happened to them. But by and large, if a kid got COVID, if a kid gets COVID today, or if a kid got COVID 4 years ago, they probably get a scratchy throat, a sore throat, little cough, maybe some sniffles, and be done in about 3 days. Oh, yeah. This isn't conspiracy theory, Tony. No, we know this by now. This is why a lot of the mandates are dropped, because I think the normal person realized we overreacted. We shut the world down when everybody else got COVID. You thought you were safe. Oh, because you got vaccinated, but you got COVID. And then you're like, yeah, I got over it in a couple of days. Really? That was it? I mean, it wasn't pleasant, of course. But how evil was it to force this on children and pushing this stuff? To tell toddlers, to tell two-year-olds, to mask them on airplanes and mask them at daycares. And telling your toddler that, no, he needs to get his, or 6 months, they allowed it for, under emergency powers, 6-month-olds to get the COVID shot. I'm sorry, in my opinion, if you vaccinated your 6-month-old with this COVID shot, I think Child Protective Services should be questioning you if they weren't already compromised anyways. CPS should be at your door going, did you honestly inject your child with an unproven shot? Your child, who just 6 months ago was still in your wife's womb, and you did this. And 40 to 50% of our country was like, yeah, and I would do it again. Make sure you boost. Make sure you push this all this information. But you notice that a lot of that was going on in the early days of 2021. I said this about 9/11 too. It's not so much what the government was pushing in 2001. It was what 2002 was going to bring. And that's when you saw the Patriot Act and everything else pop up from that. 2021, in many ways, was worse than 2020. Even though, of course, the lockdowns and there's the destruction that ended up popping up from that. But it is more so what happened in 2021 from the mandates to, by the time we started getting to summer, all the people like Rachel Maddow to Joe Biden to Barack Obama and George W. Bush and Bill Clinton, that you get vaccinated, you're not going to get COVID. But we have seen this indisputable proof that you get this shot in your arm, you're not going to get COVID. Remember Joe Biden? You get this shot,
you're not going to get COVID. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen.
And then, because some of us were questioning things, people were getting suspended when you would question. There seems to be people who are getting sick even though they're vaccinated. And Joe Biden, what does he do? He blames Twitter and Facebook and social media for killing people with misinformation.
COVID misinformation. COVID misinformation. What's your message to platforms like Facebook?
They're killing people. I mean, it really, look, the only pandemic we have is among the unvaccinated. And they're killing people.
Boy, how weird is it that 3 years ago he sounded way more sentient than he does now? Take away the State of the Union and the B12 and cocaine and Adderall that he probably was on at that time. My God, that was 3 years ago. And he sounds very peppy compared to where he's at now. Social media sites were killing people because they were allowing people like you and me who are questioning things. And we noticed that there is an uptick of articles that said someone died suddenly. And not an 85-year-old, not a 97-year-old, a 20-year-old, a college player, an athlete, a very healthy person who drops dead on the field. Died suddenly. Athlete dies suddenly. Perfectly healthy 24-year-old dies suddenly, dies suddenly, dies suddenly. And some of us said, huh, is there a bit of a correlation? Because it seems like that they're having these heart issues all through this time when they were forced to either you get this or you do not play. And many said, I'd love to play, so I guess I'm just going to roll my sleeve up. And then all of a sudden there's an uptick in death and we're not allowed to question it. Can't question the narrative, of course not.
They're killing people. They're trying to kill people.
So here's Biden again. That was in July 2021. Here he is also in July of 2021 pushing more false info.
If you're vaccinated, you're not going to be hospitalized, you're not going to be in an ICU unit, and you're not going to die.
What happened? Well, it seems like people were in ICU and they still died. The pandemic, the unvaccinated, you're going to have a winter of death and destruction. How'd that work out? Because that winter, a lot of people ended up, who were vaccinated, couldn't see their families because they were sick. The vaccinated ones. The pandemic of the unvaccinated. And there were a lot of weird statistics with that, because this was booster time. We were starting to get to the end of summer, and you started hearing about the Delta variant in 2021, and people were getting sick who were vaccinated. Some of my coworkers, who were the first people in line to get shots, they were the ones who had to be out for 2 weeks for work because they got sick. And of course, when they got back, they said, thank God I was vaccinated, because it would have been worse if I wasn't. You don't know that. And we know that now, that you didn't know that, because it wasn't proven enough at that time. So we had to lock down the unvaccinated, is what they wanted to say.
I have a lot of sympathy with what they're going to do in Austria, because I cannot understand for the life of me why people believe this rubbish on the internet, the anti-vax propaganda. It is deranged. We know there's figures from the Office of National Statistics that say, what is it? You're 32,000 times more likely to die if you've not been double jabbed from COVID. There's no possible reason, unless you've got underlying health symptoms, not to have the jab. But my worry about doing it is, how do you enforce it? Do you stop everybody in the street? Who's going to stop people in the street? We don't have enough police officers on the beat anyway. So how would you make it work in Britain?
Well, you'd do it through snitches, wouldn't you, Storm? That worked.
Makes me uneasy.
It worked in lockdown. Yeah. We had people saying, get round, we can hear a karaoke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We did.
Well, I think if anyone was having parties,
this is Austria,
this would work. But I don't think, even if you called up the police and said, oh, I've seen my neighbour go out to their friend's house, you can't. Like, there's no proof of that if they end up back at their house.
Well, yeah, but the thing is, so what the police do is they do spot checks. Right. So when you're at shopping, you might see an officer, and the officer says, show me your card.
Yeah.
Now, if you want to risk having a fake card, you can do it, but you'd be in a lot of trouble.
Show me your papers. Where have we heard that one before? This was during the time of the vaccine passport. In New York State, they had the Excelsior Pass. And others, that if you wanted to go to a Live Nation event or AEG event or a comedy show or Broadway, you had to show proof that you were vaccinated. Now, I went to a couple of things where I had to show proof I was vaccinated, and my card was, let's just say it wasn't genuine. There was open talk in August, September, and October of telling people that we will bar you from civil society unless you get jabbed. And you have to show proof that you were jabbed. And then not long after that is you have to show proof that you're boosted. So you may have gone to your local Walgreens in March or April, but you're due for a booster. And if you haven't gotten the booster, we won't let you in because you're not updated enough. You haven't gotten enough holes punched in your card to get your free sub. Oh my gosh, this is what happened. Again, why do I do these podcasts? That wasn't even 3 years ago. Joe Biden was president. He's in his first term. He's still in his first term. This is why I talk about these things. This is on open daytime television to essentially arrest people for the crime of not getting experimental gene therapy lodged into their arm. These same people who now want us to have a pandemic amnesty. Go screw. There is no amnesty. This is, by the way, this isn't like an MSNBC. This isn't far left. This is regular daytime news show in Great Britain, mind you. Not in America, but similar sentiments were out there on ABC, ABC, CBS, NBC, even Fox News. This was going on. Even Ben Shapiro, of all people, was like, get the vaccine, dopes. How'd that work out? He's kind of tried to apologize, tried to backtrack, but no, it was a dehumanizing tactic. This is why I still talk about this, because they will find other ways to dehumanize you. They tried dehumanizing you because you didn't get a shot in your arm? What? What? And it was acceptable in mainstream. It's not even the far reaches of, you shouldn't, like, they tried to think of float out a vaccine passport as early as May of 2021, but then by the Delta and Delta Plus variant in late summer, They were saying, you know, yeah, I think it's time that we start asking for papers. You want to go to Target? Well, you better show your... So, you are now a second-class citizen. You could have even been vaccinated. Just like the trucker convoy in 2022 in Canada. 90% of those truckers were actually vaccinated, but they were protesting for the 10% who weren't, or who weren't boosted and everything else like that. So many people, they may not have had their papers. Now, some did have their papers. They even got them tattooed on their arms. I'm going to show that in tomorrow's podcast, since this is, of course, audio. You had medical people. It wasn't even just media people. Medical experts, these so-called experts on television, talking openly about how we need to talk down and dehumanize and demonize the unvaccinated.
I'm a doctor, an actual medical doctor.
I've practiced medicine for 21 years.
I am a critical care nurse.
I've been a nurse for 16 years.
I spent 4 years in undergraduate school, then 4 years in medical school.
And then another 5 years as a resident in emergency medicine.
Look at all of my diplomas.
I worked a second job to put myself through nursing school.
I'm 53 now, and I won't have my student loans paid off till well after I retire.
I can name every organ in your body and tell you exactly what it does.
Did you know there are between 60 and 100,000 miles of blood vessels in the human body? I know that because I've studied human bodies.
Did you know the human body has 205 bones? Well, you're wrong. It's actually 206.
I did know that because I'm a doctor.
Did you know that eating raw ginger cures cancer? You didn't? Good. Because it doesn't.
I've saved people's lives.
I've cracked open a chest and manually beat a human heart.
I've even delivered some babies in the back of cars.
Do you know how many people have shown me weird skin things at parties and asked me if they were dying?
Too many.
My life is spent trying to improve and save yours.
Oh, but you read something on Facebook?
Your friend from high school who sells jewelry, she posted it?
The one who's 53 and still builds dollhouses?
You heard what? On whose podcast?
Is he a doctor? No? Scientist? No?
Can he name one of the ingredients in the vaccine?
Can he point to his Gabella?
Then tell him to shut the up. Gabella's right here, by the way.
Isn't that polio shot we gave your kid? And then your kid not getting polio? Well, those two things are related.
How about this? You do your job, I'll do mine.
Get the vaccine.
Get the vaccine.
Just get the vaccine. Roll the up and get the vaccine.
And tell your friend on Facebook to stick to jewelry.
And that's it. That was from Jimmy Kimmel, by the way, who's hosting the Oscars over the weekend. Brought to you by the people who are smarter than we are. Wow. Again, this was on mainstream television, on a so-called comedy show for us to be informed that we need to vaccinate. And for what? This happened. How sickening is this? That was sick. And again, you can sit there and say, Tony, stop it. You're carping. What is going on, man? You're still talking about this. Yes, I'm still talking about this. We're still talking about many things that happened in our country's history and our world's history from centuries ago. This isn't from centuries ago. This isn't even from a decade ago. In fact, it's not even from a half decade ago. These are the same people who walk among us that talk to us this way, that demonized you, said you can't go to parties, you can't celebrate Thanksgiving, you have to have Zoomsgiving, can't have Christmas, can't have Easter! Easter 2020! Do you know what I did? I was at a drive-thru at a KFC because nothing else was open. Oh, the liquor store was open. I did get beer that day too. Nothing was open other than KFC because we weren't allowed to congregate. We weren't allowed to gather for the day Christ was resurrected. We couldn't do that because of some flu that the CDC has finally admitted that it's a flu, which I'll get to here in a second as well. This was all going on. And then you start seeing, again, more vaccine side effects. Heather McDonald, not the one who is a great author and reporter and everything. This is Heather McDonald, the completely unfunny comedian, who talks about how many boosters and vaccines and everything she's gotten as she's on stage. And then she collapses on stage. And it wasn't a bit.
I don't mean to brag. I don't care. But I want you to know, double vaxxed, booster, flu shot, and I'm going to be honest, I have the shingle shot too. And I still get my period. What? Yes. Traveled, went to Mexico twice, did shows, meet and greets, never got COVID. Clearly, Jesus loves me the most. Seriously. So nice. So nice.
And the crowd is watching this going, oh, that's kind of funny because she was just talking about how she's had all these shots and everything. And she's not getting up. And they think it's a bit. They're like, oh, that's kind of funny. It's almost like Andy Kaufman level. And no, she's down for the count. And that's when you start seeing a lot of the cracks. That wasn't just because of that, but there's a lot of things that were not adding up. And then we got to hearing about vaccine misinformation. Yo, like, you know, I've seen people are talking about all this heart issues, but what is really going on here? That's misinformation.
2024, the FBI warned we're going to see a record level of disinformation. Mm-hmm. We're going to see fakes. We're going to see AI affecting the outcomes of our, or trying to impact our elections. People need to be smart about what they share.
But it's not just your crazy. This is a lot of it is new. I mean, ever since Miss Alternative Facts and Elon Musk with the Twitter thing and who else? That Zuckerberg. These people don't have any conscience about what goes out to the public.
This is what I'm saying to you. She does not have a makeup line. No. She's not quitting the.
I wish
the
I did
to do it. Yeah. So now someone will come and offer you one. But it's important for people to know.
On the island too?
They said, "Well, it's, no, my name goes around."
It's important for people to to recognize. What is satire? And it's important for the people who put these sites out to say in big, bold writing, this is satire.
But besides satire, Whoopi, I mean, look at what's happening with these anti-vax people. You know, I said this the other day. I have been boosted and boosted and boosted, so I got COVID. Mm-hmm. It does not prevent you from getting COVID, but you don't die from it.
Right.
And yet you have people like this Robert Kennedy Jr. who's going out there and attacking Fauci and saying that it's a bad thing to get the
booster. He's not saying it's satire. He's actually believing
it. I know, but this is fake news, and that's another thing. Fake news, alternative.
So, yeah, they're going on. So, Joy Behar just admitted right there that the vaccine didn't work because she still got COVID. She said, I got vaccinated and boosted and boosted and boosted, and I still got it, but you don't die from it. Except you do die. In fact, many people seem to be dying from this, especially not necessarily from COVID, but from probably some other shots that have been going into their arms. So that was a fairly recent clip. So we've come a long way. How did we get from the mandates and everything from to the point where in February of 2022, so nearly 2 years after the fact, I was at the airport in Myrtle Beach wearing a mask still. It wasn't as strict as it was 2 years earlier when I went to Key West for my honeymoon, but we still had a mask mandate that made no sense. But then a month later, the FAA dropped the mask mandate. And after that, for the most part, the mandates have been dropped. Almost seemed like Vladimir Putin invading Ukraine is what stopped a lot of the COVID nonsense. And we've refocused everything else. And you start noticing the people that were shut out of work, they got fired because there was the OSHA mandate that if you had 100 or more employees that you were and you weren't vaccinated, that you would have to fire the vaccinated people. And there were a lot of people that were going through these medical exemptions. They kept appealing and appealing. And instead of, they're like, well, we'll kick the can down the road. We'll give you a month. But then if you don't get vaccinated in a month, we're like, I can't. I have medical issues. I'm appealing here. Or I have a religious exemption, whatever it is. And then all of a sudden, basically by May or June of 2022, it's like, yeah, we're dropping the mandates. It's okay. Let bygones be bygones. And then by October, by Halloween, we started seeing articles I think it was The Atlantic, who said, we should have a pandemic amnesty. And I'm like, no, we're not going to have one. What you people did, and I saw people arguing, friends of mine were saying, look, okay, maybe we didn't behave in the greatest way, but let's get past that. We got other things to worry about. You know, like Roe versus Wade and Ukraine and now Israel that we've had since October 7th. We have other things. Why are you still talking about this, Tony? Come on. Well, I want to tell you where we're at right now after I've spent 50 minutes going back in time, let's see where we're at right now. So, of course, now, as of March 1st, CDC finally drops the five-day isolation time for COVID, advice now same as for the flu and other respiratory illnesses. Interesting. So the five-day isolation time, which used to be 2 weeks isolation time, then it became 5 days over time, is that now, yeah, it's basically the flu. CDC has now come out and said, yeah, it's the flu. It's the flu. And here's Glenn Jacobs. He's talking about all the CDC dropping those guidelines, again, saying that it was the flu and saying everything that what I've basically been saying here on this podcast the last couple of years now. So here's Glenn Jacobs.
Hello, I'm Knox County Mayor Glenn Jacobs. Today, the CDC dropped its COVID isolation guidelines. I'd like to make a statement about that. During his farewell address, President Eisenhower warned us to be alert to the danger that public policy could itself become the captive of a scientific technological elite. This announcement from the CDC is just more evidence of how prescient Ike turned out to be. Sadly, during COVID, too many Americans were willing to surrender their freedom, which has been secured thanks to the sacrifice of patriots throughout our history in the name of safety and security. Now we're learning that agencies like the CDC and NIH were not following the science. They were fortifying their fiefdoms and increasing their budgets at the expense of our sacred rights and liberties. They were making it up as they went, and it was all about power. It turns out that no one knows, for instance, where the 6 feet apart social distancing guidelines came from. We now know that policies requiring mandatory masking do virtually nothing to stop the spread of respiratory pathogens. We now know that shutting down our schools, ostensibly to protect the population least at risk from the virus, has caused untold harm to our young people. And most disturbingly, we now know that instead of objectively investigating the origin of SARS-CoV-2, high-level government officials actively suppressed evidence that the virus may have been the result of a lab leak, probably because our own country has been funding dangerous gain-of-function research performed in adversarial nations. I pray that when the next crisis comes, Americans will remember what happens when we blindly follow the demands of experts and bureaucrats and reject further assaults on our liberty and our way of life.
I wish we had more politicians to speak up about this a couple of years ago. I wish we had libertarians who were speaking up. This is why I have kind of ran, if you've heard me in other podcasts talk about this, ran away from the libertarian movement. As much as I love Ron Paul, he was the last guy I voted for in a presidential election in 2012. I said no to Mitt Romney, certainly not to Barack Obama. I voted for Ron Paul. I like a lot of libertarians, personally. Dave Smith, Robbie the Fire Bernstein, my buddy Adam Nutter. There's a lot of really good libertarians out there, but I cannot take the movement in the LP, Dr. Joe Jorgensen, who said that instead of being passively not racist in 2020, we need to be actively anti-racist, which is even worse than I think even a lot of Democrats were saying. And the Libertarian Party and the libertarian movement and libertarianism in general was put to the ultimate test in 2020, and they failed. Oh boy, did they fail. And a lot of podcasters, a lot of people, instead of going to your state capitol and the courthouses and protesting every single day, they were afraid of being called racists and anti-vaxxers and anti-COVIDians and everything. And they just ended up doing podcasts about, do you like the Chicago style of economics? Or see, I'm more of an Austrian style. Or other podcasters were talking about loosening marijuana laws. I said, hi, it's April of 2020. There's other things we should be talking about instead of marijuana and economics. Yeah, I would like to talk about prison reform and all this kind of stuff at a later date. We have bigger fish to fry right now, and you're failing the test. So that's just how I feel. You call me ignorant. I don't give a darn. But also make sure you still get vaccinated.
We need to see everyone get an updated flu shot and an updated COVID vaccine. We also shared on Friday that we expect and anticipate there's going to be an updated COVID vaccine coming this fall, right? So plan now, yeah. Right? It's March, so you can think ahead when you're going to get your flu shot in the fall, you're going to get another updated COVID vaccine. And the reason for it is because this virus continues to change. That's okay. We can stay one step ahead of it. We mm-hmm. have the tools to do it. We just need to use them. So FDA, CDC has started that process just like we do with the flu shot. We've started that process to update the COVID vaccine already for this fall. And so we just want folks to, again, already start thinking about that.
So that was Mandy Cohen, who is now heading up the CDC. If you're keeping track, and if you're updated on all the boosters, that would be shot number 10. 10 shots for, again, a virus that I have gotten, my wife has gotten a couple of times, and it depends on how you are. Me personally, I go to the gym 4 to 5 days a week. I play tournament softball. I try to stay in pretty good shape. And yeah, I got COVID. The first time I got it was in August of 2021. And yeah, it was about 2 days. It wasn't pleasant, and that was it. And I got over it. Everything was fine. The worst thing was I couldn't smell things for 2 weeks. And then after that, I'm like, yeah, that's okay. I don't need to smell anything. That's not that big of a deal. So, yeah, make sure the CDC director wants you to go get your COVID and your flu shot. And that's one big thing is that they're going to mix all of them. So if you're like, well, I don't get this COVID shot, I'm not going to do this, but I still get my flu shot. They're mixing them together. It doesn't really matter. So if you're getting your flu shot, you're also getting a COVID shot. Let's be honest here. I'm not the only one who still likes talking about COVID. Aaron Rodgers does, too.
We dealt with the draconian measures, and that's my last point, and I just want to fucking move on. But it's like people are always like, you know, why are you still talking about COVID? Like, why don't you just move on? It's ridiculous. I'm like, well, let's see what happened. They locked everybody up forever. It was supposed to be a couple weeks, right? They locked everybody up. Hundreds of thousands of businesses closed and never opened again. Many of dozens of people that I know in their 30s. You know, who poured everything into these small businesses and restaurants and bars and never opened again. So they lost everything. They're out on their ass, right? The wealth gap got even bigger from the haves and have-nots. They lied to us over and over. They vilified early treatments. They censored legitimate doctors in the space, like Dr. Peter McCullough, like Pierre Corey, Dr. Corey, like Dr. Robert Malone, who allegedly was there in the beginning of the mRNA technology, and so many more people than that, the Alex Berensons of the world, the Weinsteins of the world, who were like writing about this, talking about this.
Not hard.
Brett Weinstein.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I was about to check you.
And had an informed opinion about this. I mean, they were arresting people who were surfing in California. They closed the beaches. When 80, I mean, I don't know what percentage, but probably 60% or more of the country is vitamin D deficient. And, you know, vitamin D, you know, does well against the common cold, as does vitamin C, what? As does zinc,
what?
As does the number of home remedies that we all have. But no, stay inside, wait for this vaccine,
right,
which is 100% safe and effective, which they told us. So my whole point is, listen, they lied to us many times over. They locked us up. They closed our businesses. They increased the mental health issues exponentially. The rates of suicide went way up. And they're just like, they vilified us. The draconian things that, you know, the ridiculous.
Uh-oh.
Shut down, you know, we lost billions of dollars. There's no NFL owners who are mad about this now that we look back and go, oh, well, maybe we could have stopped this with a little like early treatments or like not giving remdesivir and, you know, a ventilator to these patients. Maybe like, you know, treat it like the common cold where you, you know, you have symptoms and you start doing something about it. You treat it. I have a problem with that because now people are just like, oh, just move on. Just brush it on the rug. It's like, well, I have many apologies.
Yeah, so that's Aaron Rodgers on Pat McAfee's show back in January. And my favorite part of the clip is always watching AJ Hawk, who's on there on the show, and he's just like, uh-oh, this is going to make some news, so I may as well not make any facial expressions that are going to compromise who I am. That's Aaron Rodgers. And Aaron Rodgers sums up my thoughts on it. They vilified him because he wanted to find a more holistic approach as opposed to getting what everybody else did. And in this is my opinion. I don't share this opinion with everybody else, but this is just my opinion. I think a lot of ball players faked vax cards. Antonio Brown got popped with a fake vax card, but I think a lot of them had a fake vax. I think the only people who probably did take it were those fringe players on an NBA team. So if you have 15 guys on a roster for the NBA and you're the 14th guy who's barely hanging on between I'm playing in the NBA or I'm playing in Europe or playing in the G League, and the G League is essentially a little bit of a stopgap before you're, I don't know, working over at a Sonic, giving out milkshakes to people. So you're like, probably, I guess I'm going to have to do this. So just my opinion, my big conspiracy is I don't think a lot of them took it. I know Kyrie Irving didn't want to take it either, but he got vilified too. But the best part is now is you have to start making fun of these people. You have to, what's the best way in our meme culture? Meme, not mean, but it could be mean, but M-E-M-E. What's the best way that you can start to kind of show a spotlight on this and get past this? And it's a coping mechanism for us, but you gotta make fun of these people. You gotta mock them. Here's Ben Bankus, a comedian. He was on stage making fun of a woman in 2024 still wearing a mask.
Are you sick, ma'am? Are you wearing that for safety or just to let everybody know who you're voting for? I think she's laughing. I can't tell. That's awesome. Thank you for coming despite your, everything about you.
That's hilarious. I mean, that's hilarious. You have to make fun of these people at this point. The people who wear them in their cars still. And yes, you see them. In fact, I saw it today. You're still wearing it. You're the only person in the car. I don't understand, but I'll get past if you have an old person who's in there going like, hey, I know my old person, they all sound like Joe Biden.
Hey, will you be able to put your mask on for me? It's flu season,
Whatever, old man, whatever Methuselah, I guess I'll take you to your appointment. I'll wear this stupid thing in the car. No, people by themselves. Tony, I thought you were libertarian. I thought you're freedom to do anything. And I say, yeah, you're free to still wear your mask at a Ben Bankus comedy show or in your car or wherever you're at. But I'm going to make fun of you. 3-4 years ago when I was making fun of these same people, I was hearing, well, you don't know what the... Maybe they were going to the store and they were going to another store and they just put their mask on for a little bit and they just figured instead of taking it off and putting it back on, they'd just leave it on. That's stupid. That's dumb. What are you doing? What are you doing? No, you had to make fun of those. Now, I've been making fun of them the whole time. Now it's kind of like, yeah, all right, I'm probably not going to wear a mask. It's pretty stupid right now, as you should. But, I mean, that's where we're at right now. We got COVID. COVID's still a thing. Make sure you get your booster, your updated booster, your flu shot. Although Dr. Birx, who was also part of it, there was Francis Collins, there was Anthony Fauci, and Deborah Birx, the scarf lady. She says that now, because we've heard about long COVID. Now, what is long COVID? It really has not been proven that this is anything more than more hypochondria, more people psyching themselves out because they got sick one time. They're like, oh, my arm hurts. It's got to be from COVID. It's that long COVID symptoms that I have. It must be that long COVID. Could be vax related. But she said it's kind of like HIV. What? Okay, well, let's listen in here.
Comparisons to HIV. You've done a ton of research in this. Do you believe this is a false flag? Is there something that contextually people need to understand about that comparison? Or is this much darker a potential reality than we knew?
The reason the comparison to HIV is important is because HIV was also asymptomatic. I mean, you couldn't see the virus through symptoms because people were infected for 7, 8, 9 years before they developed symptoms. But HIV quietly destroyed our immune system, and we learned a lot about immunology from HIV, and it's changed completely our cancer therapy. We're learning now about mitochondria and viral impact and brain fog and the changes in our neurons and the cells that nourish our neurons that really allow us to think and move. And we're learning that because what of long COVID has done. And so there's...
Okay, anyway, I don't need to hear any more about that. I think the similarity between long COVID and HIV is that if you think you have both, you're probably gay. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, look, Jill Biden. No, Dr. Jill Biden, I should say. Because, you know, there's many doctors, many experts out there. Because we've heard about this with essentially everything they said in 2020 is in into 2021. The vaccines will stop COVID. Vaccines will stop you from getting and giving. Masks work. Now, they haven't. None of it has worked. So when Dr. Jill got COVID again, actually, no, I don't know if she got it again or she just got it, period, and that her and Joe Biden were isolating. Here is Karine Jean-Pierre, KJP, the affirmative action hire at the White House. The only reason she was hired because she's a black woman lesbian. And I think she might be an immigrant, too. So she's 4 for 4 on the intersectionality there. That's the reason she got the job. Here she is talking about when Jill Biden got COVID. And she's bringing up all the old stuff, that the same tropes from 2020 about social distancing and mask wearing.
The president continues to test negative. Will he wear a mask in India for how many days? And will he do anything else to change his behavior as he's around so many world leaders?
No, it's a good question. Look, as you know...
I don't know what happened there. Just stopped on me. Sorry about that. But she says the president is going to continue to follow CDC guidance, and that includes masking and social distancing. Really? How'd that work out? Social distancing? So a toddler, it was a child. It wasn't a toddler, but it was a child who came up with that. You do realize that, right? That you had experts, you had presidents, you had politicians, you had medical doctors, unironically saying social distancing, 6 feet of social distance. A child came up with this because they said, well, 10 feet seems too far, but 3 feet's too close. So how about somewhere in the middle? Like, I don't know, 6 feet. Like the average of like a grown adult in between you, kind of like a car length. You want to keep yourself a car length apart from the next car in front of you. You're keeping yourself a person's length, not width, but length away from you. And we all said, sounds reasonable, right? Well, here's Dr. Fauci even admitting that social distancing was just a bunch of BS. He says Fauci admits to Congress that certain COVID social distancing guidelines lacked scientific basis, just sort of appeared. How did they sort of appear? Almost seems to me that you were like, yeah, sure, why not? That sounds reasonable, right? Nobody stopped you. Nobody vetted you. Nobody thought there was anything more than... maybe. Is there any science to back that up, dude? No, I guess not. So you just need to mock these people. You need to mock the mask wearers. You need to mock the social distancing warriors. You need to mock the COVIDians. You need to mock everybody who's getting boosters, like Katie Hopkins here.
I can hold it. Yeah, I can hold it. It's fine. It's fine. Hi, it's Margaret. I'm excited because I'm here at the vaccination center getting my booster. It's my 45th booster. I've had 44 boosters. I've had COVID 14 times. But I know if I hadn't had my 49 boosters, my COVID would have been so much worse. And today I get a threefer. Threefer. I know. I thought it was buy one, get one free, but it's threefer. I've got my booster. I've got my cold and flu, and I've got my shingles, which I didn't know I needed, but I definitely must do. At this point, I'll be made up more of boosters and vaccines than I will of blood. And guess what I got given today? This. A prick loyalty card. I'm so excited. So every time I get a booster or a jab or a prick or a vaccine, I get a loyalty reward point. And look how well I'm doing. I only need two more and then I can get myself a heart attack.
That's hilarious. I mean, she's mocking the whole thing. You just need to mock these people. You need to mock them before it turns into something else. Now, do I think they can get rid of, have some kind of pandemic, some kind of COVID? I know they tried to do this last year. It was funny, about September of 2023? There were a couple of places that were reinstituting masks because of COVID upticks. COVID is not over. There was a historically black college outside of Atlanta that mandated masks. I don't know if they only did it for about 2 weeks or if they still have it. I'm not sure. Haven't kept up with that story. And then Lionsgate Pictures over in Hollywood said, we noticed an uptick in COVID, so you need to wear a mask. It didn't really take off. People were going like, yeah, no, we're kind of past that. So some were wondering in 2024, are they going to pull some similar shenanigans? I don't see that happening. I really don't. I really don't see that they're going to return mask wearing, and they can't really push COVID boosters. I think we're past that. I think if they're planning something, it's not virus related. It's not like physical virus. Could be computer virus. Could be more other types of shenanigans. But I don't think they can go down the COVID road. They tried. It's not working. So after everything I've played today, the first 50 minutes of this podcast was going back in time, demonizing you that you didn't social distance enough. You didn't wear enough masks on your face. You didn't get enough shots in your arm. You didn't get enough boosters in your arm. You didn't stay home and stay safe like we told you to. All of this was going on. Now here we are today, where you have politicians who will lie to your face, and media members too, that say, nobody forced you to get vaccinated. Oh yeah.
Enforcement measures in place will make sure that everyone is vaccinated.
Individuals are allowed to make their own choices. There may be all sorts of different reasons why someone is hesitant to get vaccinated. And therefore, while not forcing anyone to get vaccinated,
so, of course, that's Justin Trudeau, the prime minister, not Fidel Castro's son up in Canada. He's one of the many politicians who said, nobody forced you to get vaccinated. And they're playing a game. And I mentioned this in last year's podcast, too, I'm sure. So I'm trying not to repeat myself. I'm trying to get the updates that we have had in the last year now. But they do this word game, the semantics game of nobody forced you to get vaccinated. And what they mean by that is nobody strapped you down to a bed, to a table, and or cuffed your wrists and put your arm up there and forced a needle into your arm, put the plunger and shoved the COVID-19 vaccine into your arm. That's their semantics. Now, when you press them upon it, you say, no, I'm not saying that. You're saying that if I didn't get this, that I would be fired from my job, that my friends won't talk to me, my family won't invite me to family functions, this. They say, well, no, but that's them. And, you know, no one says that you have to keep that job. I mean, no one's forcing you to keep that job. So therefore, you weren't forced to get vaccinated, you anti-vaxxer. No one forced you. But they did. They did. And they got found out. And then eventually Biden and Fauci, they all got COVID around the same time.
And I'm taking my Paxlovid. Everything is fine. I got COVID. I've tested again.
Really got tested? How many boosters are you up to? How many boosters? No one forced you to get vaccinated. Some are wondering if the vaccines have killed a lot of people. Now, we've heard about how many people have died of COVID. Let me actually look this up right now. As of today, how many COVID deaths in the world? Let's see what the counter is up to right now, just for funsies as of today. COVID statistics, cases, they're up to 703 million, but deaths are at 7 million. Doesn't sound like much of a pandemic. So 7 million recovered, which means 675 million people have recovered from COVID. So we had 7 million deaths worldwide, which you say, wow, that's a lot of deaths. 7 million people. Do you know how many people would have died if it wasn't for COVID? Probably about 7 million. Oh, yeah. These were people with, again, the pre-existing conditions that, okay, maybe COVID pushed them over the edge. They would have died in June. Instead, they died in May. And we have to mark it down. That's a COVID death. Okay, so there's that. But some are wondering about the vaccines. Are they killing people? Taking a shot into their arm. And that you're seeing young, healthy people, not 89-year-olds, not John Glenn's wife, who was 100. They're not the ones dying. It's, who are these? Some are saying 17 million?
So just first part of the question, what do you think we're going to see in terms of a death toll and injury toll from this vaccine, so-called?
Let's say, well, here's what we know. Joseph Freiman and his colleagues, including Peter Doshi, did an evaluation of Pfizer's own safety data from its safety trials. And these trials were absurdly short. In fact, Pfizer only allowed 1 month before it vaccinated its controls and made it impossible to detect further harms. And what they found was a 1 in 800 rate of serious adverse event. This is not minor stuff. This is serious harm to health. 1 in 800 per shot. That's not per person. That's per shot. 1 in 800 rate, which in 1 month, that suggests a very high mortality risk. And in fact, we saw mortality in the safety trials. What happens over the long term? We've certainly seen such a range of pathologies that have crippling effects on people's health that I shudder to think how many people have actually.
So I'm not a math genius, but 1 in 800 shots times billions is, you know, a lot of people.
Yep. There was I was recently at a conference in Romania on the COVID crisis. And so there was a lot of work trying to unpack what we actually understand. And I saw a credible estimate of something like 17 million deaths globally from this technology. So
17 million deaths from the COVID vax?
Well, when you scale up to billions, it's not hard to reach a number like that with a technology this dangerous. Now, to your deeper question, I think let's steel man.
So just for perspective, I mean, that's like the death toll of a global war.
Yes, absolutely. This is a great tragedy of history. So that proportion.
So that was one of the, Brett Weinstein, because his brother Eric also does podcasting and stuff. That's a, 17 million dead from the COVID vaccine, possibly? Is that true? I don't know, but it seems like there has been a pretty high uptick in people dying suddenly that seemed to have been pretty healthy before. I don't know. It just seemed to me that it made more sense that if someone was dying who was 75 years old and diabetic and has cancer and has this and this, that it was a little bit more plausible that was going to happen as opposed to younger people. And they were saying, well, it's because they got COVID and they got heart conditions. No, they didn't just get COVID. They got COVID vaccine. And this is why I went on my diatribe earlier in this podcast by saying a six-month-old should not be getting this shot. Why would you do that? A six-year-old shouldn't be getting this shot. A 16-year-old shouldn't get this shot. A 26-year-old shouldn't get this shot. If you're 86, I understand why you would get that. If you're 6 months old, it's child abuse. But we normalize this. There's other figures that said that it could be a lot more. There was one study. It says, let's see, where is that? It says that there's one study that came out that said the impact of the COVID shots, 585 million people killed or injured. So let's say it's that 17 million, then you have, you know, you're looking at 500 million people injured from the vaccine. Again, I don't know if it's true, but as we have known in the last couple of years, I'm not ruling a lot of this stuff out. This is stuff, by the way, that pre-Elon Musk buying Twitter, you would get suspended. You wouldn't have your name anymore. You're labeled an anti-vaxxer. You're labeled an anti-COVID denier. You're a COVID denier. You're this, this, and this. You will never step foot. You're Alex Berenson. You're any... And then now a lot of these people have been pretty vindicated, including yours truly, who was taken off the radio when I was filling in hosting, and my radio company at the time felt I wasn't taking COVID serious enough. And that's probably true, because I wasn't, because it shouldn't have been taken as seriously as it was. But we had to shut the world down over it. I find it interesting that the CDC, someone said they were excited to dive into the new Freedom of Information Act, FOIA, on the CDC's long-term study of myocarditis after COVID-19 vaccination. The CDC released a 148-page study on myocarditis after COVID-19 vaccination, and every single page is completely redacted. Every page of the 148 pages is redacted. Because wasn't that that we won't know until 2075? Something along those lines, that we won't know what has happened, the trials that went into it. That we're not allowed to know any of this stuff. We just have to take it for granted. I mean, for God's sake, Mary Lou Retton, wasn't she America's sweetheart back in the 1984 Olympics? Well, she has some issues now.
So grateful to be here. Mm. I am blessed to be here. Because there was a time when they were about to put me on the life support.
It sounds like you are and have been a very healthy human being. How were you feeling in October before all this happened?
The day before.
We got our nails done.
We got our nails done.
Right.
I was feeling tired. But I'm thinking, yeah, I turned 56 this month.
And you were very out of breath.
Out of breath.
The next day, Mary Lou was supposed to meet her daughters at a football game in Dallas, hours from her home. She never showed up.
I couldn't. I literally was laying on my bedroom floor, and I said, I can't do this. I didn't know what was wrong with me.
What did you feel?
I couldn't breathe.
You catch your breath.
I couldn't, like, you know how you want to just, I still can't, but take that big, deep breath in.
You couldn't do it.
Couldn't do it.
She has a mystery illness that happened, and it happened all of a sudden. It's kind of interesting. So there's a lot of people who believe that probably from a shot. Mary Lou Retton, an Olympian, not Mary Lou Retton, obese woman at Walmart who takes a rascal scooter to go grocery shopping. I'm talking about an Olympian who was doing backflips and, I mean, what are we doing here? Yes, she's in her 50s. Yeah, she was in very good shape. I've seen her. She was very attractive for a long time. And now all of a sudden that her body starts shutting down on her over a mysterious illness? Gonna start noticing a couple of things, if you ask me. What's the next thing? Are they planning some kind of new pandemic?
Important thing to realize is that North American science spent 15 years figuring out what to do with the next COVID. It was back 2002, 2003, the original SARS-CoV-1 occurred. And so all sorts of experiments went on to determine what would be a useful response were something similar to occur. And the research was done. Research was all done by 2015, 2016. And DARPA, D-A-R-P-A, the American research arm of the U.S. military, it specifically knew and specifically recommended and passed the information on to the CDC that ivermectin in particular was the absolute number one product to be used in the event of a coronavirus pandemic. It was fully known that ivermectin, and certainly hydroxychloroquine as well, were highly antiviral and immune modulatory. And those two things were the key, to modulate the immune response, plus to be antiviral as well. Those elements were both totally proven in vitro and in vivo with animals, so that it was known, and of course we knew it was completely safe for humans, because these medications had been used for 35 to 40 years in humans, And so that's what was sitting there, ready to be used at the next pandemic.
So we had an opportunity to have a treatment in hydroxychloroquine, and we decided, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to try and find the quote-unquote cure before we find the treatment for it. It's kind of interesting. Remember, well, because hydroxychloroquine was in that fish tank cleaner, and that woman killed her husband because she killed her husband. Not because they all took it because they were horse paste or that. Remember that one? It's like that Joe Rogan took hydroxychloroquine and they said you had Sanjay Gupta and other CNN people say, and even was it PETA or I forgot who it came out, and they said, you are not a horse, you are a person, so take your vaccines. And Joe Rogan went on his show with Sanjay Gupta and said, your network said that I was taking horse goo. It's like, I have a credible doctor that I deal with. I'm a healthy guy. I eat elk meat. Like, I don't eat seed oils. I don't do any of that kind of stuff. Yet your entire network said that because they discolored my face on TV to make it seem like I'm gravely ill from having COVID. He's like, I had it for a couple of days. And Sanjay Gupta, to his credit, he went on and said, yeah, maybe we shouldn't have done that. But they would do it again. And they would continue doing it again. You had an opportunity for people to have some kind of treatment if they got sick. And we decided, no, it has to be shut down. They have to get this vaccine. And it's not FDA approved right now. It's still not. It was under emergency use powers, and it still is, I believe. So we just got to wait for the next. Oh, wait. And here's Rogan talking about hydroxychloroquine.
Study that they just released that said that as many as 17,000 people worldwide died of hydroxychloroquine. So I asked Robert Kennedy Jr. about this, and what he sent me the actual study, and he sent me what the results were, and here's what was wrong with them. First of all, they administered it to people that were already in the hospital for COVID. You're supposed to give it to people within the first 10 to 14 days. That's when it's effective. After that, it's not effective, after the infections reach a certain level. Second of all, there is a level that you would give these people, and this was far above that level, and they were giving it to people who were already dying. He was like, they're essentially overdosing them while they're already dying with hydroxychloroquine, and said this contributed to 17,000 deaths. Like, okay, maybe it did. Maybe people actually did do that, and maybe they did that out of ignorance. Maybe they did that because a protocol wasn't established. Maybe they did that because they were just wrong. But also, how many people would have been saved if they used it? If you looked into that, you can't ignore that. Hydroxychloroquine is a widely used medication that's been used for malaria forever, for a long-ass time. It became political, which is insane, because it's a drug. And a lot of times, drugs have an initial reason why they created them, and then they find that it works with something else, and it works even better with something else.
Yes.
That happens by accident all the time. But the fact that they couldn't have it happen with hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin is just, that should tell you what's going on, especially with ivermectin, because it had surpassed the amount of time so you could just get a generic. So no one had a patent on it. So it's very cheap.
I accidentally said hydroxychloroquine with Rogan, but he took the ivermectin. That was the horse goo. But hydroxychloroquine was the fish tank cleaner. Again, it was all a way to get people to get vaccinated. Make sure you get your vaccine. That's all this was. It was all a way for you to get inoculated. And that was basically it. That was the goal. And I'm going to talk about that in tomorrow's podcast. Yes, I have another companion podcast where I'll talk about some of the same things, but other things that I didn't mention in this podcast. So hope you enjoy that. That's going to be on Rumble. But a little tease in case you don't want to listen to that or don't have the access to it. Is that, yeah, they had come out and basically admitted that the entire goal of the thing, of the lockdowns, was to make life so miserable for you and me that we cannot wait to go to the CVS or to the Rite Aid or to your local primary care place and get the vaccine. That's the whole goal. So, and if you didn't do it, you didn't comply, who knows? But where do we go from here now? I think what COVID proved is that you're going to have 40% of the country, 40% of society, will go along with whatever the next thing is. That's why you notice the same people that showed off their, that said, stay home, stay safe, wear a mask in 2020, that by 2021 had a profile picture that said, I got my COVID vaccine, that by 2022 that had a Ukraine flag in their thing, and Slava Ukraine and Kyiv and all this stuff, and Putin is a war criminal and all this. And then by 2023, it was a lot of LGBT stuff. And then by 2020, whatever's going to be the next big thing. Maybe they have I think right now we have a lot of Palestinian flags or Israeli flags, depending on how you look at it and where you're at. But I just find it kind of interesting that the people that were so in line with locking down, with wearing masks, with getting vaccinated, they just support the current thing. And those are the same people who ask me, who ask Joe Rogan, who ask RFK Jr., who ask Aaron Rodgers, who ask Brett Weinstein, who ask Tucker Carlson, and who ask anybody who's been harping on COVID stuff the last couple of years. They're the first person to tell you, why am I still talking about this? Well, guess what, people? I could curse right now. I almost did. Guess what? I'm still going to talk about it. And you know what? I've got another podcast tomorrow, like I said, on the Rumble, where I cover a lot of similar things, but not the same things. The things that I purposely left out of this one to entice you to listen to tomorrow's episode. And guess what? Another one. I'm going to do this next year, too. I'm going to do it on the 5-year anniversary. So it's going to be the 5th podcast that I do this. I'm going to continue doing this until I stop podcasting. I'm going to continue reminding people of what this ended up becoming, how your behavior contributed to what happened in society, the biggest transfer of wealth, that the division that's gone on in our society, the fact that families broke up, families stopped talking to each other. Some families haven't even talked to each other. There are some people who haven't left their home in 4 years since COVID. Here we are. You enjoy yourself? You have fun? Was it worth it? Was it worth it? Was everything you did worth it? Now, I said this last year. I'll say it again right now. And this is how I'll wrap up the podcast. A lot of COVID stuff is going to get memory hold. I'm happy that I can still do a podcast like this, that there's others, the Dave Smiths, the Tom Woods, the Michael Knowles, couple of Matt Walsh, a couple of other prominent podcasters, Patrick Bet-David, Rogan. They'll still talk about lockdowns and COVID and stuff because I don't think we're at the... I don't think we've even scratched the surface of the detriment to what school shutdowns had on our society. My thing is that... And my fear is that it got memory hold and your average person who should always have this in the back of their mind. This is why I call this my Roman Empire. This is, I think about this all the time. I think about how human behavior within days, everybody conformed, that it was that easy. You wonder, they always talk about, how did it get so bad over in Nazi Germany? And I'm not calling us Nazis. I'm not saying that we are part of Nazi Germany. I'm not even saying Weimar. Wait till June. I'll talk about that a little bit more. But guys, what I fear is that COVID has become, if you talk to your blue-pilled Democrat, independent neighbor who's happy, they're largely happy that things are reopened, they're going about their business, or they're talking about, again, the current thing, is that COVID, the lockdowns, the mandates, they were a minor inconvenience. The lockdowns were a minor inconvenience. If anything, they saved a couple of bucks and they got a chance to work from home and they got better equipment for their cameras or podcasting and equipment or microphones and headphones and what have you, backgrounds, green screens. But COVID was, for the laptop class, was nothing more than a minor inconvenience that we shut down for a few weeks, maybe a couple of months. And okay, you had to wear a mask for a little bit. And that's it. Okay, you got a shot in your arm, but I'm healthy. Nothing's going to happen to me. That's what I fear, is that we as society shrugged our shoulders. It was so bad for a lot of people that we wanted to move on, like a trauma. But like many traumas, a trauma like this has lasting effects that you cannot repress. You cannot repress the memories and repress what ended up happening. And if you do, it could pop up and then you'd be like, wait a second, I've been down this road before. Wait, we're locking society down over whatever, this, that, whatever current thing is happening. Don't let them happen. Use this podcast. Use today's podcast. Use tomorrow's. Use last year's, 2 years ago, 3 years ago. All these podcasts that I've been doing, as well as others, not just mine. It doesn't have to be just mine. But this is my Roman Empire. This is something that I am very passionate about. And I was alive in 2020. I remember everything I was doing. That's why I opened the podcast. I know I did 50 minutes, 50 full minutes, rehashing things that you probably remembered. Maybe some you forgot. And the reason I played is maybe you forgot some of it, and I don't want you to forget about it. I had to rehash because I lived through this experience, and so did you. Don't repress this. Don't allow them to sweep this under the rug. There needs to be Nuremberg trials over this. The fact that Dr. Birx can still put out books, the fact that Francis Collins is not behind bars, the fact that Dr. Fauci is not on trial somewhere and not just fighting with Rand Paul. I'm saying like full-on mass murder type of Nuremberg-level trials. That there needs to be accountability. And I will continue harping on this until there's accountability. And unfortunately, I haven't seen enough of that. That's how feckless a lot of these Mike DeWine type of uniparty Republicans are. They should be the first ones to call for this. Where are they at? Oh no, it's Mike Johnson's only standing for Israel and Ukraine. Because that's what matters right now. Because that's the current thing. So forget about the past thing. That's the past. Talk about the current thing. We'll talk about things from centuries ago, but we're not going to talk about the thing that happened not even 3 years ago or 4 years ago. So again, going to continue doing this podcast and get ready because in March of 2025, next year, regardless of who's president, regardless of whatever's going on in the world, I'm going to do another podcast and I'm going to do the first half of the podcast going to remind you of where we came from so you can skip ahead. Go ahead and skip ahead if you don't want to hear it again. You're like, Tony, I heard you talk about last year. But I have new listeners and I have new people, so I had to go over it again. But I'll do it again. Next year, I'll do another COVID podcast, and then I'll see where we're at now. What's the CDC going ahead? Are they going to try to do the COVID stuff as we head towards an election? Are they still going to try to scare people? Or are they going to find some new techniques in order to keep people in their homes and mail in ballots and drop boxes and everything? I don't know. I don't want to know. But we'll find out pretty soon. Pretty darn soon. I want to thank everybody for listening to today's podcast. I appreciate you for sticking around for, gosh, almost an hour and 40 minutes. I've been doing a lot of long podcasts. And if you want more content from me, once again, go to patreon.com/Tony Mazur. For $3, you get audio. $5, you get audio and video, AV, if you will. And $10 gets you extra podcasts. And I got an extra podcast coming out this week, as well as the Rumble page. I don't think I'm going to put this on YouTube. I thought about it, but I've gotten YouTube strikes recently about podcasts from 2-3 years ago. So it's not that I'm afraid. It's not that I want to go against the man, but I'd rather not have my account nuked. Because as much as it's great, maybe I'll put it on Twitter and I'll put it on Rumble, but I'm not going to put it on YouTube because YouTube, Facebook, Google, Instagram, they're all run by the cabal still. And at least Elon Musk is allowed, and Rumble and Odyssey and some of these other areas will allow a little bit more free speech that we could talk about certain shots in arms and certain face coverings and lockdowns and everything like that. So I thank you for listening to today's podcast. And if you're only listening on audio only, I'll be back with you with another podcast coming up for you next Wednesday. So again, hit subscribe. Give me a 5-star rating. Give me a 0. I don't give a crap. You do whatever you want. Whatever you want. Thank you for listening to the Check Your Brain podcast. My name is Tony Mazur. Have yourselves a good one. And keep the faith. Don't let them forget. This should also be your... COVID should be your Roman Empire. Have a good one, everyone. Bye now.